Let me begin by saying that, as I mentioned before, I'm not up here to tell you what I want or think, but I intend to prove by the Bible the proposition I'm supposed to be affirming tonight. The Bible does teach that the seventh-day Sabbath is no longer binding today. Instead, Christians must come together for worship on the first day of the week. Now, to clarify, I do not believe that the Sabbath has been changed to the first day of the week or anything like that. I believe the Sabbath has been abolished, just like you Seventh-day Adventist brethren believe that the rest of the old law has been abolished. The Sabbath has been abolished. We're not under that law anymore. We worship, the churches of Christ worship on the first day of the week because that's the example we have in Acts 20, verse 7. We don't think the Sabbath has been changed then. We think it's been abolished, and we go by the New Testament law. Now, I'd like to begin by turning to Hebrews chapter 9. We'll look at verses 1 through 4, chapter 8, verses 13 and 7, and 10 and 9. The first point I want to make is that the first covenant, notice that word covenant, included the tables of the covenant, or the Ten Commandments. That's not all the covenant was, but it definitely included them. For example, Hebrews 9, 1 through 4, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary, which had the Ark of the Covenant, where was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. So this is talking about the first covenant. And remember what was in the Ark of the Covenant, the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, the tables of the covenant. The Bible says the first covenant included this, the tables of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. In chapter 4, verse 13 of Deuteronomy, we read, "And he declared unto you his covenant," on that God, "which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone." So the first covenant, the old covenant, as the Bible talks about it, included the Ten Commandments. There's no way of getting around that. Mark, raise it up. Now, we've just shown that the covenant, the first covenant, the old covenant, included the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm going to show from these verses that Jesus took away the first covenant. Jesus took away the first covenant. And since the first covenant included the Ten Commandments, that means that Jesus took away the Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath day, the fourth commandment. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, the Bible says, "In that he saith, a new covenant," this is a quote from Jeremiah 31, "he hath made the first whole." Well, after that quote, I believe. "Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." Notice what it says. The fact that Jeremiah said a new covenant, new, if you say new car, that implies there's an old car. The fact that he said new covenant, he hath made the first old, first covenant. That's the one that includes the Ten Commandments. "Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." That's what you get to buy at the point of $3. So now it says this first covenant, which includes the Ten Commandments, is vanishing away according to this verse. Hebrews 8, verse 7, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no, mentioned no place had been sought for the second." You see that the first covenant has been done away, and so we sought a place for the second covenant. What is that second covenant? The new covenant, the New Testament. And then Hebrews 9, verse 9, he, talking about Jesus, "taketh away the first," in the context that's talking about the first covenant, "that he may establish the second covenant." I mean, you see there, I've established in these two verses that the first covenant, the old covenant, included the tables of stone, the Ten Commandments, which right there in Deuteronomy 4:13, his covenant commanded you to perform even the Ten Commandments. And then these passages teach that that first covenant, what we call the old covenant, has been taken away by Jesus. The first covenant and the tables of that covenant, the Ten Commandments, were taken away. Jesus took away the Ten Commandments. That's exactly what I believe. Next, I would like you to turn to Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Right here I have the text of that passage in the King James Version up on the chart. Colossians 2, 14 through 17 reads, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Talking about Jesus, obviously. What did he do? He took these handwriting of ordinances, simply means laws or rules, and it says he took them out of the way, nailing them to the cross. As before principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now here's the conclusion from that. The fact that he took away, nailed these ordinances to the cross, here's the conclusion. "Let no man therefore judge you." For example, circumcision, which was binding under the Old Testament for the Jews. We're not to judge a man today whether or not he's circumcised, because it's not part of the New Testament law. You cannot say a man is sinning because he had been circumcised. Back then, the Jews could say that about another Jew, and that's what he said. Let no man therefore judge you. You can't say that a man is sinning because Jesus has nailed these ordinances to the cross. Now, what are some examples of these ordinances? Meat or drink, respect of the holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day. By the way, the word "days" there is in italics, meaning it's not there in the original. says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Mark. What was done with these ordinances according to verse 14? Jesus blotted them out, took them out of the way, and nailed them to his cross. What does this mean for us, according to verse 16? Let no man therefore judge you with respect to these ordinances. In other words, no man can say that you are sinning if you don't keep these laws. These laws are not part of God's law for today. Examples of these ordinances taken out of the way, verse 16. Well, you have the meat and the drink. That was to be done daily. The meat and the drink offering. The holidays, like we have holidays today, July the 4th, January the 1st. Those were the yearly things like Passover, Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. Now, lest James gets up here and talks about this Sabbath, including those, the set feasts, the yearly Sabbaths. No, that's in there, James. We're going to show more in that minute. This is the yearly Sabbath, what you call the ceremonial Sabbath. The Bible doesn't use that term, but what you call the ceremonial Sabbath are here under the holidays. Passover, Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles, there were seven of them. I believe they're spelled out in Leviticus 23. And then he says the new moon. How often does the new moon come about? About once a month. It did for them. I believe their calendar was based upon the moon. And then you have the Sabbath. That would have to be the weekly Sabbath because all the other Sabbaths are mentioned here when he says holidays. The weekly Sabbath is specifically mentioned as having been blotted out. Jesus blotted it out. And he gave some examples of the laws that he blotted out. This is not the whole list. It's just some examples. But one he specifically mentions is the weekly Sabbath. Now, we're going to elaborate upon that point, proving that the word Sabbath there in Colossians 2:16 is definitely referring to the weekly Sabbath. Everybody, since I don't have this text on the chart, please turn to Numbers chapter 28. And we're going to go through an exercise here to prove that the Sabbath mentioned in Colossians 2, verse 16, is the weekly Sabbath. That's the one that's been blotted out. In Numbers chapter 28, verse 4, the Bible says, the one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at evening. So they had to offer a lamb at morning and at evening. And how often did they have to do that? Morning and evening. That would be every day, right? So there you have the daily sacrifices or offerings. And then in verse 9 it says, and on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot. Now James and everybody in this audience would agree that's talking about the weekly Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day they were offered to offer two lambs. And then verse 11, in the beginnings of your months you shall offer a burnt offering to the Lord. Notice this is something that's to happen once a month, in the beginning of your month. Also in verse 14, and their drink offering shall be half an hin of wine unto a bullock, and the third part of him unto a ram, fourth part of a hin unto a lamb. That is the burnt offering of every month throughout the months of the year. Something that was to occur every month. Now we learn later that's called the new moon. That's what it's called in Colossians 2. Now notice verse 16 of this chapter. It says, in the 14th day of the first month, is the Passover of the Lord. Now, they didn't call their months like we did, but if the 14th day of our first month would be like January the 14th. How often does that occur? Once a year. And then chapter 29, verse 1, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month. So that'd be like July 1st, if you were in our calendar. Verse 39 of chapter 29. These things shall you do unto the Lord in your set feast. That's what they're called, the set feast, the things that happen once a year. Okay? And then, so we have, looking in the chart, we have the 14th day of the first month, the first day of the seventh month, they're called the set feasts. These are the things that happen yearly, like Passover, Pentecost, and so forth. So we have the daily, the weekly, James will agree that's the weekly, the monthly, the new moon celebrations, and then the yearly. Now, we have this list repeated in short form about five or six times in the Bible, the last of which is in Colossians 2. For example, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 4 says, for the burnt offerings, morning and evening. Now, what's that? Is that daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly? Morning and evening, that's daily, obviously. On the Sabbath, that's the weekly again. On the new moon, that's the monthly. Now, go back to here, and you know that's what he's talking about. He's given all four categories. And on the solemn feasts, like Passover, Pentecost, and so forth, the yearly. Things that happen once a year. 2 Chronicles 8, 12 and 13. Solomon offered burnt offerings every day, obviously the daily, offering according to the commandment of Moses on the Sabbath. That's the weekly. On the new moon, that's the monthly. Don't be confused because there's a word, a plural here. The Sabbath, that's still the weekly. They're just, you're to do it every Sabbath. And if you think of how many Sabbaths there are in a year, 52. That's plural. The new moon, 12 of those in a year. Solemn feasts, 7 of those in a year. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 3, Mark. The morning and evening, burnt offering. That's the daily, obviously. The burnt offerings for the Sabbath. That's the weekly again. And for the new moon, the monthly, for the set feast, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Nehemiah 10, 33, for the continual meat offering. That's the daily, for the continual burnt offering, the Sabbath, that's the weekly, the new moon, the monthly, for the set feast, that's the yearly one. Happen once a year. Ezekiel 45,
It shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings. That's the daily. In the feast, that's the solemn or the set feast, that's the yearly. The new moon, that's the monthly. And the Sabbath, that's the weekly. Now let's go back to Colossians 2. It's just like these other passages. Matter of fact, I'm sure that Paul had these passages in mind. It's just repetitive of many of these Old Testament scriptures. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. That's the daily. Respect of the holy day. That's the same thing as the set feast, the holidays, once a year. The new moon, that's the monthly. Or of the Sabbath day. What's the only thing left? We've already mentioned the daily, the yearly, the monthly, the weekly. Colossians 2 then specifically says that the weekly Sabbath has been blotted out, nailed to the cross. That is proving my proposition by the Bible. Next, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I'm going to have to do a little reading here. Bear with me and please listen, because this is very important. I'm not going to be able to just read one verse like I just did and show that the Sabbath is not binding. In this case, we're going to have to read more than one verse. There's a contrast, a comparison being done in 2 Corinthians 3. A comparison between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's pick up the reading in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. It says, "Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." You see that contrast? I'm putting the comparison on each side of this chart. Verse 3, it says, "not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." You see, I'm going to put everything that goes on this side over here, and everything on this side over here. Verse 4, "and such trust have we through Christ to God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Verse 6, "who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament." That's why I put New Testament over here, on the right side. Because that's the thing that he's emphasizing here in the positive. And the negative is on the left side. He says, "not of the letter," that goes on the left side, "but of the Spirit," right side. "But for the letter killeth," verse 6, "but the Spirit giveth life," verse 6. You see how I'm doing that on that chart? I'm just showing you what the comparison contrast is that Paul is making. "But the ministration of death, verse 7, written and engraved in stones," verse 7, "was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away," verse 7. "How shall not the ministration of the Spirit," verse 8, "be rather glorious?" You see, you have the ministration of death, here's the ministration of the Spirit. Verse 9, "for if the ministration of condemnation," over here, "be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory." So you have the ministration of condemnation compared to the ministration of righteousness. "For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth." You see, the thing on the left, he's saying, had glory. The thing on the right had glory that excelleth, more glory. "For if that which is done away," verse 11, "was glorious, much more that which remaineth," verse 11, "is glorious." See, more glory. "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished," verse 13. "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament." Lord, just a moment, Mark. That's why I put Old Testament up here. See, you have the New Testament in verse 6, and now it identifies the left side as the Old Testament, verse 14. "Which veil is done away in Christ, for even to this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." Verse 16. Now let's look at this chart. We've been through the comparison and contrast. Mark, lower it down just a little bit again. So we have this identified. The left side is the Old Testament, right? Which is the thing written and engraved in stone. It includes that. What was that? 10 commandments, specifically identified. The right side is the New Testament. Tables of stone. 10 commandments, specifically identified. Okay? Now, notice this. Go raise it up, Mark. We're talking about the thing written and engraved in stone, the thing in tables of stone, the Ten Commandments specifically. The Old Testament law was done away, verse 7. That which is done away, verse 11. Abolished, verse 13. Done away in Christ, verse 14. And taken away, verse 16. I've already read all of them. But the New Testament is the thing that was more glorious than that which remained. So the Ten Commandments law, which includes the Sabbath, has been abolished. Mark, next chart. "Therefore, the Sabbath has been abolished." Now, I've got a chart that summarizes that in a little bit shorter form. I didn't put all the different items up there, but I put most of the ones on the left. You have the Old Testament identified on the left side, New Testament on the right, which remains. Old Testament, tables of stone, written and engraved in stone. Everybody here knows us come up with the Ten Commandments. Done away, abolished, done away in Christ, taken away. How can you make it any more plain than that? The Ten Commandment law was taken away, done away, and abolished. It specifically says the thing written in a graving stone was done away. Raise that part. Notice in particular. Now, if you can't remember all that, all you got to do is remember this. This is a quote from verse 7 and 11. It says in verse 7, that written and engraved in stone was glorious. And we know the New Testament said to be more glorious, but forget that for a moment. That written and engraved in stone was glorious. Now verse 11 says, that which is done away was glorious. You see how they're made equivalent? The thing that was done away was the thing that was glorious. What was the thing that's identified as being glorious in this passage? The things written, engraved, in stone, the Ten Commandments. And so the things written, engraved, in stone, the Ten Commandments, were the thing that was done away. Written, engraved, in stone was glorious. Well, the thing that was done away was glorious. That shows the things written, engraved, in stone is the thing that's done away. And Mr. Fayer defines the Greek word translated done away from Strong's 2673 as to seize, pass away, put it into, and null and abolish. So the Ten Commandment law, which includes the Sabbath, has been abolished. Sabbath has been abolished. Mike, how much time? Put up the next chart, Mark. Romans 7, 4 through 7. And here's the text of Romans 7, 4 through 7. It says, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, if the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, first of all, the lesson in verses 2 through 4 in this chapter is that we cannot be married to the old law and Christ at the same time. Notice that in verse 4. Notice verse 4 says you are become dead to the law. Dead to the law. Now, what law is that talking about? Well, in verse 7 says, I had not known lust, if the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Don't try to get up there and say this is coming to ceremonial law. It's the law that includes the Ten Commandments. And he says we're dead to that law. And Satan defines that word dead to be liberated from the bond of. Romans 7 verse 4. And then verse 6 says we are delivered from the law. That's the law that says thou shalt not covet. It includes the Ten Commandments. What if Satan defines this word, Greek word translated delivered? To be severed from, separated from, discharged from, loosed from. Romans 7 verse 6. So the law that says thou shalt not covet actually, it's talking about all of the Old Testament law, but it definitely includes the Ten Commandments, because it says, thou shalt not covet. We've been liberated from the bond of that law. We've been severed from and separated from, discharged from, loosed from that law. Again, how could Paul make it any more plain that we're not bound by, but instead we're discharged from the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments? We are dead to and delivered from the law that includes the commandment, thou shalt not covet, which is one of the Ten Commandments. We are dead to and delivered from the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath. Mark, next let's turn to Galatians 3, 19 through 24. 1 minute. Now I want you to recall from this last chart that we're dead to and delivered from the law that says thou shalt not covet. So anytime you read about a passage that talks about being dead to and delivered from the law of the New Testament, it's talking about the old law, which includes the Ten Commandments, the law that says thou shalt not covet. Now let's notice what it says about the law in Galatians 3, 19. That's the law, remember, that includes the Ten Commandments. It says, wherefore then serveth the law? In other words, what's the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions. Romans 3:20 says to point out what sin is. That's what that's talking about. Till the seed should come. Verse 16 of this context shows the seed is Christ, to whom the promise was made. So this law, the law that we're dead to, delivered from, that says thou shalt not covet, the Bible says it was added till the seed should come, which means after the seed has come, after Christ has come, we're dead to and delivered from it. Raise it up a little bit, Mark. And now in verse 24 and 25 of Galatians 3, it says, wherefore the law is our schoolmaster, preached unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law is our schoolmaster. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We're no longer what? Under what? The schoolmaster? What's the schoolmaster? The law is our schoolmaster. That's the law the Bible says we're dead to and delivered from. It says, thou shalt not covet. We're no longer under that schoolmaster, that law. So Galatians 3 teaches that the law, including the Ten Commandments, was to last until Christ came. And now we're no longer under that law. We're no longer under the Ten Commandments. Thank you very much, and I invite you to pay attention to James.